Commodity broker Gordy Kulawitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. And Gordy, I thought the last few weeks were pretty good, but this one was just almost unbelievable.
Yeah, we've had worse weeks where we're discussing how the markets behaved, you know, and we've had some pretty good moves. I mean, last Friday, you know, corn popped up and, you know, closed pretty much up limit. And we followed through. Actually opened, you know, we closed on our lows on Monday, but we were still up 6 cents. Tuesday, we were up 17. Wednesday, we were up 11 and three quarters. Yesterday, up 10 and a quarter. And today, up 12 and a quarter. That'd be a good month. So, you know, I mean, you look at where the corn market bottomed, you know, basically on that, you know, end of the month stocks and acreage report on the 31st of March. That morning, corn is at 518 and a half on the July contract. And here we're sitting up now at 731. So not quite $2 rally. Actually, I'll take that back. A little over $2 rally.
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
In basically, you know, month, call it a month and a half-ish. So, and as I said last week, you know, once the maize go into delivery, the July is going to go to where the maize were. And that's pretty much what happened. We just kind of just rolled right on up, and we're right back where we were then. And the interesting thing is the maize keep going up. You know, only 500 contracts of May corn, but corn closed at 772 on the May versus 731 on the July. May beans, and again, 500 contracts, up another 16 at 1622. So we're still at 1589, 1590 on the Julys. So based on that, we still have room to go just to get where the maize are.
I'm starting to see more analysts and even farmers talking about 2012. And where was the all-time record high in corn and beans?
I believe it was in 2012. Corn hit 840 and some odd cents, and beans hit 1798. So I think we're on pace. I mean, wheat had that one incredible year where the, you know, got into the teens. But, you know, we're seeing more and more stories about the wheat losing ground. You know, Canada's stocks came in below last year by a chunk. We're having problems throughout our western plains. And, you know, we've had some issues with winter wheat in the Ukraine, although just last week the UN said it's a record crop. But, again, the real world seems to be saying something else. Yeah, and plus now we're using feed wheat. And it's interesting, we're getting the guesses for the crop report. And, you know, I thought what was interesting is for old crop carryout, we're going from $1,352,000,000, the guess is down to $1,260,000,000. Makes sense, we're, you know, using more. Beans are dropped by two because you really can't go much below 120. But the wheat, oh, we were at 852 last month, and they drop it to 849, only down three. Well, we keep hearing all these stories about increasing feed use, and nobody seems to be factoring that into the wheat. So, you know, that could be a fairly significant chunk of numbers because if they're indeed feeding a lot more wheat, which is what we're hearing, the wheat stocks could start coming down. And, you know, wheat's already sitting up here in the sevens. So if the world starts getting jittery about wheat, you know, just starts hitting the gas for everything. And, you know, you got oats still sitting at $4. And you got this huge dry Canada and Texas, two of the bigger oat-producing areas. And, you know, oats may still be kind of a value down here yet. So, you know, all of this stuff is looking like it's hard to make a bear story out of it. Mato Grosso's Institute of Agricultural Economics cut their corn crop for Mato Grosso, the biggest corn-producing state, to below last year. And they're saying the north is looking okay, but the southern half of it looks terrible. And unless rains come, that's going to keep going downhill even more. I think Ag Resource put out a notice this week talking about they could see a 25% yield hit in South American production and corn. And like I said, that's kind of what I've been talking about, big numbers, not just nicks and dings, but big hits to that second crop of corn.
In 2012, we had the drought here in the heart of the Midwest. But this year, it seems like we have our crop kind of in question, and we've got a big question mark with the crop in South America.
Well, that's what that South America said, you know, a definite down year. You know, Argentina is coming in below all the early guesses for corn and beans. Again, on this report, they're looking for an even bigger bean crop in Brazil, which I really doubt what they're going to get. But, I mean, the official numbers have it a big crop. But, again, when you factor in crummy quality and everything else, just like last year, they predicted a record crop, and they were out long before they got the harvest, and I think we'll see the same issue. So, I mean, world crops are having issues. And the other thing is the world has been overstating crops for the last couple of years. You know, I've been kind of pounding the table that these numbers aren't real, and all it's going to take is one shortfall to show it all up, and that's where we are now. You know, I mean, last year's crop was not a disaster. I mean, it was sort of an average-ish crop, and we're running out of grain like we had a disaster last year. And, you know, that's kind of the thing. I mean, they've been overstating what they've been doing, and, you know, now the math is coming home to roost. So it's not like the world had this devastating set of growing conditions last year. I mean, South America's was kind of bad. But, you know, I mean, the first crop of beans wasn't a disaster. It was just down a little. Same with the Argentinian corn, not a disaster, just down a little. But when you combine that with our crop being just average, we ran out. And it's because they've been using bogus numbers the last couple of years. And, you know, the math eventually works, and here we are.
And the livestock had some action this week, too.
Well, it was really kind of interesting. The last couple of weeks, you know, they've been just pounding on the cattle. And, you know, the funds had turned sellers. And, you know, in a fairly quick period of time, we turned around off of our highs up at 126. And, you know, we broke down at the beginning of the week on Tuesday. The cattle just let loose. They were down another 200 and some points. We actually got the cattle hog spread to basically even money. June cattle, June hogs are trading at the same value at that point in the game. As the cattle were going downhill, it wasn't that the hogs are just exploding or anything, but you know they were drifting up. You know they've been drifting up for a while now, and you know we had a good close last week. Like I said, we closed on Friday with a breakout high kind of deal, gapped up on Monday, and we followed through. Today was actually a down day on Friday, but for the week we were up. And with the cattle being down like that, it pushed them to even money. And I don't recall being that way. I think you had to go back into the 90s to find a period when hogs were actually equal to or above the cattle. And so that was kind of a historic deal. And then I think we got the even money, and it put some spreaders going back the other way. And so for the last couple of days, the cattle have rebounded a little bit, and the hogs have sort of flattened out. So we'll go into next week with basically the momentum on hogs intact. I mean, today was just a one down day and profit taking on a Friday. But the cattle may have put in a bit of a bottom. And on their lows, at one point, the cattle were the only commodity market being traded this year that was down since the start of January. And I just don't think any commodity can, you know, afford to stand all by itself like that. So we saw, I think, buying coming back in. And again, it's one of those things, you know, like if you look at the stock market, you know, when you buy a category of stocks like steel or whatever, they buy all of the winners, but eventually those move up enough and you start looking for just companies that are in that index, you know, whether they made money or not, and people start buying them. And I think that's the same thing that's happening in commodities. I mean, you know, the front burner items like the grains and, you know, petroleum have kind of run up a bit. And now the money's coming in, looking at commodities, going, well, that one's kind of cheap. And so that should help some of these other commodities that really haven't been zipping along. So that might help things like the soybean meal and the cattle that have been kind of a bit laggardy and give them a little bit more push from behind.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.